family that moved to the corner. They had housewarmings and beautiful curtains and gorgeous lights and lamps. In fact, my mother, I think, was envious of their beautiful curtains one time. But anyway, we had a lattice porch at home. It was covered, you know, with lattice work you've seen. It had a door and like a room. We kept our ice box out there. We had a large ice box. So this day, this youngster came to the back door of our house, and my mother went to the door, and she said, "Do you want to play with Callisto?" I was so mad. I was about 7, and this kid was about 3. So my mother wanted to give her something. So she looked in the ice box, and she didn't have nothing but bananas, and she was sort of afraid at that time. It wasn't like, she thought, well, if she gave the child a half a banana, and she wouldn't get sick. So she gave her half a banana. So we went in the dining room and ate our lunch, and all of a sudden we heard the lattice door banging again. So we went out, and here her brother had sent her back for the rest of the whole banana. And later on, we learned that that same family was getting their electricity from the street light of our corner.
Well, how did they do that?
Oh, well, they weren't honest.
I mean, they had hooked it up that
way. Yeah. So that was the first black family that moved in there.
How did the people feel at that time when the black family?
They were resentful. I remember the Jacob family. In fact, he was an attorney. He came up and wanted us to sign up, but we didn't own our property at the time.
What would you sign for?
For the removal of that family, but they didn't get it.
Would that be Sister Mary Frances' family?
Yeah, that's cousins of her. Mm-hmm. Well, one was her brother, Bill. No, that's about all I can get you that far.
What about the shopping part of Homewood? What was that like?
Oh, that was fine. It was a regular, beautiful shopping center. They had nice stores. They even had, I'll tell you about the fruit store they had. She was an Italian lady. We called her Mary, Dirty Mary. And then the woman next door says, "That's not nice." So we called her Unclean Maggie. Now, what else do you want to know?
What was your entrance day like?
That was a big day. This friend of mine, the Riley girl, had entered the Mercy. Her name was Enie Riley. She was a great girl. We had a party for her. She was entering. And another girlfriend of mine was going to Philadelphia. So Kitty said to me, "Oh, Enie," her name was Anastasia, she said, "She can't go to the picnic because we're having all the relations at our house." See, she was entering the Mercy. Mm-hmm. And so Enie says, "Oh, go on, I'll get up from 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock. And entertain their relations. But after 10 o'clock, I'm going to the picnic."
So it's 10 o'clock at night?
No, in the morning. In the morning. And so she did. And Kitty stayed home and took care of the relations. And she went to the picnic. So that was... when she entered, they had... cars, I guess, at that time. Some of the people had an auto. I know they had 2 carloads went up to Mount Mercy with it. So I thought I should have a whole lot come with me, too. So, of course, I was coming a little different distance. And all these Rileys came. My aunt came at the time. My grandmother had died, I guess. And my grandma didn't die, but she didn't come with us. But I had a whole slew came with me. I know it was over 10 people. Because my brother said to me, "Well, Dutch, he called me Dutch. He says, "It's the only time I ever cried," after when he said this to me. I filled up, and I fill up to this day. He says, "Well," he said, "Dutch, I bought a round trip ticket for everyone but you." And then always, I can't help it. I don't know what I was. And I leaned out the window, and I still have a picture of myself in a postulant hat.
Oh, yeah.
And then they took my picture. Yeah.
How did you travel?
We traveled by train. He bought a round trip ticket for everybody but myself.
Who met you here?
Huh?
Who met you here at Baden?
They did. They all left me.
No, I mean, who met you when you came?
Oh, met
what
you.
Sisters?
Well, I think it must have been Mother Alphonsus for one. I guess Sister Baptist, too. But Mother Alphonsus, I think. Because later on she asked me how. I'd never told him I had that picture taken. And then 3 months later she said, "How'd that picture ever turn out?" Oh, and I never told her I had taken it.
She knew that.
Oh, sure she knew it. She saw them do it. And they took me up and got me dressed in a little flat hat. Now, what else?
Who entered with me?
Mm-hmm. Sister St. John, Estelle, Marie Hamill, known as Anne's Laws at the time. We started to enter in September. We finished up entering in January.
Oh, everyone didn't come the same day then?
No, well, they were supposed to come, most of them. But we took on the ones that came in December. We took the one. Marie Therese came in October, and somebody else came in November, and somebody came in December. I think Esther was the last one. She came in January. They all got the habit on April the 14th, Tuesday, 1925.
What were some of your first works that you did after you entered?
I was put in the baby's bedroom, which had about 20 kids' beds, but first graders. And I remember particularly reading out the window, Sister St. Paul taught them, "How do you do, my partner? How do you do today?" I can hear them singing that. And I had a baby. And another thing, I had to bathe the boys. And I didn't know anything about boys at the time because I came from a family of girls.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to bathe. I guess because Sister Baptist had a happy knowledge of knowing who the girls could take responsibility. And of course, my mother had died and I knew. I had to take commercial because my father, as I said, lost in business. But he tried later on to spend his money. And one business was a cab business, because every time I saw Amos and Andy, I thought of my father.
Oh, did he go into the cab business then?
He went in the cab business, but he didn't make out. He went into the going to California was another thing. And I don't remember, only being a little girl, went down the Knights of Columbus Clubhouse, and he lost the money there. But he never, my father always had character. He wouldn't take a cigarette. I mean, he wouldn't take a cigar. Oh, he never took a cigarette. He was in the tobacco business, big cigars, you know. Never. Cigarette was a mortal sin at our house. But he was. To the very end, he was a beautiful character. My mother, years ago, would want him to take a drink. And then she says after he lost, she was glad he never did, because he never showed his frailty in any way. He had character to the end, so did my mother. She could make a meal and you never know where she got it from. So I had nothing to regret. I had a beautiful life. Then I entered and things are pretty well. They put me, when Sister Adrian told me about entering, I thought she had to have, 10 degrees in teaching. And I says, you know, I can't teach. And she says, no, we have an infant home, though. And I think I was in 10 years before I ever saw the infant
home.
I was sent to St. Joseph's Hospital.
Right away?
6 days after I got the habit.
Mm. When did you make your canonical year then?
I came home in 26 to 27.
Mm.
And I was up at the hospital 28 days after I was there.
What did you do at first when you went up to the hospital?
At the hospital, I first started, I was looking at the picture the other day.
Sounds like someone knocking.
Somebody, who's...
What sister
well,
was...
Well, the flood. I didn't tell you about the flood.
All right. What flood was this?
Well, I went to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
6 days after I got the habit on St. Anselm's feast day. And I always heard the hospital served beautiful meals.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I thought every day was like the feast day of St. Anselm. But I found out the next day it wasn't quite that elaborate.
Why was that a special day at the hospital?
Because it was St. Anselm's feast day. And Anselm was a nurse there.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Sister Christina was my superior. And they had a hotel. Now, this is the stuff that's community.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hotel at the end of the corner. And during Sister Christina's time, that was sold. And next came an old building. There are two houses, two old houses. And then on the half of that, then there came an empty lot, and then came the first, the original part of the hospital.
Now, was all this property you just talked about originally owned by the hospital?
Yes. Okay. Next door to us was a little house where the hospital had started, one of the starting places of the hospital. Then was a fire department. And that's in that was, and also we had a cobblestone for Carson Street. And I remember particularly when they took up the cobblestones, they moved the streetcar over to the sidewalk. And we had the switchboard right in, not very far from there. And between the bulldozers and between the streetcars and trying to listen to the switchboard, you had one line. You weren't allowed to say you were busy. Sister Isabel and Irenaeus, I was never allowed to say I was too busy. I was never allowed to say I forgot.
You were never allowed to say what?
I forgot.
Oh.
I was never allowed to. I had no place to switch off a call. You had to tell the people, everybody on the list, the only people you were allowed to call the floor were the ones who were operated on that day. And I had to do some kind of miraculous shoving around.
You were a switchboard operator then?
Well, that was one of the things. The switchboard operator, you smiled at the front desk and said, admitted everybody that came in, and you had to have a grin for everybody. Now what? And then I always wanted a telephone where I could switch off. I'd say, will you take this call in the back? And they'd say, why can't you handle it? Well, you'd have to say to 10 people, just a minute, just a minute, just a minute. I sound like these people now on the telephone.
Who was in charge of the hospital at that time?
Christine was in charge, but she left Sister Isabel and Irenaeus in charge of the office.
So they were like your bosses?
Mm-hmm. They were very good but very strict.
Then after you went for your canonical year, did you go back to the hospital?
Yes, and afterwards I went back to the hospital. I was at the hospital. I was there all the 50 years I was there.
Really? What were the different jobs that you had when you were there?
I was later sent to the outpatient department, where it took care of all the people in depression. I had added on the social service.
What do you mean depression? You mean the 1930s depression?
When we have that depression, is it 1930?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, I was back there. We gave out layettes and who's that?
In the hospital, and we'll be there for 50 years. You also said you went to the infant home, though.
No, I didn't. I just went to a visit.
Oh, you weren't there.
No.
You never had another mission besides the hospital.
Oh, well, I'll tell you. On Duma canonical year, I was sent to Baden.
Yeah.
Well, I also typed for Mother Genevieve letters in China. I also had a class of four students, eighth grade, and a fourth of my class entered the convent and is in today, and she always tells me that.
Who's that?
Sister Carolyn.
Well, this is eighth grade. What school was that?
St. Joseph's Motherhood. I was down here making my canonical year, and then when Mother Alphonsus sent a sister wants you to type a letter or the bill or something, she'd come in and take my class. And then she told me I was, you know, my voice carried.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in that resource center, and at that time it didn't have any top on it, you know. I don't know whether it has any top. I think it is closed it now. And you could, no wonder you could hear me. I was just inside the door there where to give out the pay now, you know, and, you know.
No, I didn't know they did that.
Oh, no. Well, you know where the resource center is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right inside the door there was my classroom. And Mother Alphonsus would come along the hall, and she'd hear me talking, and she thought I talked too loud. And I said, oh, no, I didn't. Well, then Mother Bonaventure was Mother Superior. And she gave me a nice compliment. She told me that Carolyn wrote a beautiful letter of entrance, you know. I guess it was, I don't know. And she complimented. And I saw you don't have to brag to me about her. She's a good student.
Well, now, we had girls in eighth grade then at that time. Did we have girls in grade school?
No, we didn't have girls. We only had boys. We had 120. At that time, we served the boys my canonical year. Let's see. We ate at 5 o'clock. We served the boys at 5:30. The Amadeus, Nat Cried, came home on weekends. We served them their supper. We would do all this in a half hour. It was their silver. We had 5 tables.
I'm not clear how you had an 8th grade of girls.
8th grade?
Yeah, you had girls in
eighth
grade.
Well, they were the prep class.
Oh, I see.
And the high school were in the stage. At that time, they had a stage in the back. And they had their classroom in the stage. And I was in the lower part.
But they took girls before high school then for prep?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I was, and I had Dr. Lay's daughter and a girl from, I think, Swickley. There were 4 in our class anyway,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Lay's girl.
Where is Dr. Lay from?
He was from Lenora.
Oh.
And Carolyn.
You had mentioned the outpatient clinic at the hospital during the depression.
Yeah, I was taken, I went back to the outpatient.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we had a very nice, beautiful setting where they came up and reported up there at the above the steps. And we had outpatient records. And at the time, they were giving, we had a lot of clinics at that time. And they sent me to a special class up in Mount Mercy. and they didn't let me get my degree because I had a fight with Costco. But Marie Baker, she was, I lived with her, but I had a Dickens. I never knew when an ink bottle was going to come my way. It was about as living as peaceful as an ink bottle. She never threw it at me, but I guess one time she'd like to.
You didn't, I don't understand what that had to do with your degree.
Well, I'll tell you why. I had a sister at the hospital, was very low with cancer, and I never missed a day, but I had to be taken up in a car, and that was a terrible privilege in those days, and they thought I couldn't face it, that I had too much to, I don't like to say, but I have my own opinion on what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my credits or whatever you thought, my RRA, it's a medical record administrator, I got that through persistence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you about that. We went to a convention, Allie Gina couldn't go, so she sent me as a young sister with Irenaeus. And Irenaeus said to me, you know what? She says, they're getting their degree on waiver. And she said, this is the last month. I says, okay, we'll write when we go home for it. And she says, all right. So we went home, we wrote for it. So 2 months later, we were told we were too late. And I said, no, we weren't too late. I have the date here. We started. And she says, oh, we can't do it now. I says, yes, we can. I'm going to write in for it. If you don't want to, all right. If you want to, all right, too. But she had had her degree from Duquesne. They sent me from, well, anyway, let's see how I got started. So we got it.
Where did you get it from?
At the association. And I still get that mail today. And I got way through it. And then I was president of that, our local. But that was the end of that. But that was the medical records. Well, then when I did the social work, we had a social worker, and then she quit. We had several, and they quit. So in the between times, you're nasty sometimes.
Did you say you started that department?
What?
The social service?
No.
Oh.
The social service had been started.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a, she didn't have her degree in social work. She was just a, she was a graduate. I forget what her name was. I don't remember. And then we had a few others. Well, then when they quit, I took over. And we had a lot of clinics. We had all kinds of clinics. Ear, nose, and throat, medical clinic, obstetrical clinic, and GU clinic.
What's GU?
Genitourinary. It was called, it's the, well, you'd say it's the bladder, I guess you'd say. And
who were the people who mainly used the clinic?
Who's what?
Who mainly used the clinic?
The poor people. Oh, we had lines and lines of poor people. And the coffee, during depression, the coffee ran from the back end of the hall to the front end of the hall.
Were they people from the south side, or did they come from
the
other
south
places?
Side.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. We had many... slip we filled out for Lay-S, cod liver oil. We dispense medicine like that.
Where did the hospital get the money to do this?
Donations. We were poor, and we had four wards, and we kept the miners, and most of those miners couldn't pay because later the company didn't pay. And the poor people, their relations couldn't pay for it. And those people, none of those people paid. That's why I said that nowadays, with all this money coming in and insurance and stuff like that, but we had nothing. Those people were kept on charity. And I mean it.
Where lot of the donations come from? Where did the donations come from?
Oh, we used to have fairs, card parties. The poor people, the Ladies Aid Society, Women's Aid Society, used to come there every Friday night and have a card game with five tables and or four tables maybe, and they'd bring their own cheese sandwiches.
So there weren't, it wasn't like anyone was giving a big donation.
Oh, one time poor Dan Hamill, he ran a contest up at St. Canisius, and I think he came out to $1,000 and he turned it over. But that was the big stuff that day.
What are some of the changes that you saw at the hospital?
Well, that's what I was going to tell you about when they sold that hotel. Sister Christina came in that day and she said, maybe we did wrong, maybe we did right, but we sold it. Mm-hmm. And then we were roomed in this old, shattered building. The sisters would... Joe Salmon, don't ever say... Joe Salmon was the old man and ran the back elevator. And he was a foreigner, and his wife was old in the old country. But he was a saint on earth. And if you want to pray anything, pray to Joe Salmon. Bring Joe Salmon. Joe Salmon, bring Sister Bridget home tonight. Because he was really a saint. He would say... He made about $20. I don't even think he made that much. And Isabel would always take his money. And he'd say, have $5 said for nurses. Have $5 mass said for sisters. Have $5 mass said for, to buy alarm clocks. He used to be mad if he'd go around the apartment and didn't have an alarm clock. And one other time he bought some ladders. And this great Joe Salmon, the poor fellow's money was gone before he... And he died at the hospital. I have had a picture of him. He looked like a man from nowhere. But when he died, I went over and I remember he had white buttons, his coat sewed with white buttons. I remember taking a pen and marked it with black ink. We had lots of times like that. And at the switchboard, and Anna Mary would, you'd call up and Anna Mary would say, you'd say, there's an order down here from Sexton's. I didn't tell them to come today. I don't want it. I won't take it. And you needed arm. Well, she had to take it. So you had a call about 2 minutes later and she'd take it.
What about during World War II? What was it like at the hospital?
I know more about World War I. World War II. That's too recent. I don't know too much about the world. Mm-hmm. Because I knew people that died. Sister Irenaeus' nephew died in World War II. He was a young fella, their only boy, and he was killed. But I don't know too much about that because my brother was involved. He was in World War I.
Did it change at the hospital?
Let me tell you about the flood. I was downtown that day. The flood started we had a big car. We had they used to use it for an ambulance and they used to take the thing out and then use it for a car. And I was waiting for that downtown at the day before the flood. I think it was the day before. Because I don't think it was. I was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and 4 o'clock the next day it was, the water was way over the marquee, you call it.
Is this the 1936 flood?
Yeah, that was the 1936 flood.
Was the hospital affected with that?
Oh yes, we had large. We got our big candles from Holy Rosary Parish. Sister Juliana sent us big fat candles, and we had a candelabra on our door, and our switchboard went off, And I discovered there was a hickey that you wound like this, and I could call the floors, but they couldn't call me back. And I remember discovering that when we needed it. And we didn't have anything. We did get a lot of preference, though, but we had candles all through. And they paraded the streets, you know, and did stuff like that. In World War II, I think that was in time that they had all those, they got black shades and an awful lot of expense for that.
You had to take care of that expense at the hospital.
All those, they made a lot of shelters. And I remember we used the, there's another thing, there were three dwellings, the original, our nurse's home, that was built there shortly before I came. Then they had three dwellings during the Depression, that when they had the WPA workers, well, they gave us these three houses, and we had a lot of people to fix them over. I went over there one Sunday to look at the place that couldn't get out. Everything was, there was either boarded up or, and there was no telephone. But I finally got myself out. But we later made our home in that little old house next to us. And the first floor, Sister Vincentia's sister lived at one time. Sister Fitzpatrick, that was Sister, what's that name? Oh, her. Fitzpatrick's. The one with the big brown eyes. I can't think of her name. I'll think of it. Her sister lived there. Who else is? Sister Vincentia's sister, Fitzpatrick, and Sister Antoinette's mother made her home at the hospital.
Why did they live there?
Huh?
Why did they?
They had no place to go. And one worked. Sister Vincentia's sister worked in the kitchen a little bit. And Fitzharris, she sewed. Oh, Conrad. Sister Hilary's mother lived there. And Joe Salmon, the man, the saintly man, lived on the third floor. And the sister lived on the second floor. And we had four in a room. And he opened the window, and there was a bathtub. The bathroom was, he opened the window right in the bathroom. But we always kept that room closed. It was an old house, and let's see, Sister St. Mark lived there, Amadeus, Marie Baker, Sister Barbara, and myself. And Sister Dipna was supposed to be the monitor, you know, she had charge of the nurses, and she had a private cell, about half as big as this room. And Joe Salmon lived upstairs, and he always said the office out loud. You could hear. And he went to the Saint the church across the way, the Lithuanian church, and he made the Sunday. Well, then let's see. Well, that grew. That's about all I know about the hospital.
When did you come to Baden?
But there's a lot of hospital thing happened at the hospital.
Yeah.
In between, I can tell. I came,
okay.
But we'll close up, and in between there was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, from 1930 till the time I came here. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened then.
Would you want to make another tape? at another time just on that, just on the
Yeah,
hospital.
I could make another tape in between time on that.
Okay.
And so suppose that we stop here. This is 11:30 now, almost 11:30. Now, I left off where? But when I was doing social work and double hats. Because there's a lot to tell after that. It's when we broke ground for the new building and stuff like that.
Okay, we'll conclude this one then. And start another one on specifically on the hospital. Thank you very much.
Now, do you think that's fast enough?